And honor, glory, and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare to your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing that you need, Lord. We need so much, but nothing that you need, because you're Almighty God. You have it all. You don't need to change. We need to change, I need to change, but you don't need to. And thanks be to God, thank you, Lord, that you don't change. As we get to know you, you're not fickle like so many people that we think we know them and they change on us and go a different direction. But you have stated your case to us through the love of your word, that you have delivered to us your will and your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher. We certainly look to you. And we know there are troubles on the right, troubles on the left, troubles up above, troubles below, but it's nothing for you. In the twinkling of an eye, you can change this mortal flesh to immortal flesh. So in just less than it takes for a heartbeat, things can be changed. And so we have this hope in us as we know that the world is trying to discourage us, the enemy of our souls. Satan is trying to discourage us and has gotten into many people and brought evil happenings. But you are greater still because you're God and he is not. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way with us in this service today, as you already have, Lord. Jesus. Thank you. Well, I want to take a look at several passages of Scripture today. A little historical overview as we're have been exhorted by high-ranking preachers, you might say, and different celebrities across the country to make sure today that we particularly pray in a special way. I do want to say this isn't the first time in the history of the world that we've been facing a cataclysm or a difficult time. It was actually a time in America, there have been many times in America. In our founding, for example, on June 28, 1787, just a few weeks before the signing of our Constitution, the Constitutional Convention had begun to unravel. Recognizing the possibility of the convention's failure, Benjamin Franklin rose and delivered his famous speech to remind his bickering colleagues that unless God is the foundation and the builder of the house, those who labor to build it do so in vain. He urged the members to pray. And after a three-day prayer meeting at a nearby church, they returned to the same room and our Constitution was born. And of course, I like to remind people that claim that Benjamin Franklin was a deist, that's not the behavior of a deist at all. Now, was he a good church member, so to speak? Perhaps not. But certainly he knew who he needed to call on right there, and the deist belief is God was not around to hear. And so it took 3 days for them to pray, to come together like that. And this is what we're doing today too, that we pray that the body of Christ all over America will come together, hear from the Lord, and know what the Lord wants them to do, wants us to do. And of course, and this is what I'm actually drawing my theme, if you will, from. And of course, last week as we were preaching in Streator, Illinois, we had a series, and before I left to go out there, it's like for days it just kept coming to me, this song, that we would not be denied. We will not be denied. I will not be denied. So in all the services, the general theme was, and I tried to put as much passion in the singing of it, and we sang it. It's a short song. And said, I will not be denied. We will not be denied. We will not be denied. And the more that we sang that and said that, the more faith rose up in our hearts. And I had subtitles, so to speak, because I like preaching thematically, knowing that sometimes, and it was interesting how some people said that they were walking around the next day after we had had the Saturday evening service, and also with the men in the morning on Saturday, whistling or singing that song, I will not be denied. And so you can see how the Holy Spirit can take a seed like that and explode it in our spirit to encourage us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Isn't it interesting? If anyone has a question, does the Lord want anyone to be saved? Well, of course he does. He wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we're certainly praying that way. Many political experts today are saying that these elections are the most important election in our lifetime. The stakes are incredibly high, particularly regarding the Supreme Court choices to come. So that's one of the reasons why we're certainly calling upon Christians all over the country to be praying. And of course, we're also encouraging them to get out and vote on Tuesday. And that we would be counted as a patriotic citizen who will pray and vote. Pray and vote. So what I want to look at is our main passage of Scripture today, you might say. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Of course, I'm going to be reading from the Geneva translation. We have, as readers here today, we have other translations to be read from.
I must have known that's where you were going, because where my Bible is open.
Excellent. Good news. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we are approaching this month, of course, Thanksgiving, I continued to read about the Pilgrims and the Puritans and what they believed governmentally and so forth and so on, and of course, how they pretty much stayed to the Geneva translation. And so, going back and forth as I often do between the Geneva and the King James, and people are saying, why are you using these antiquated versions? Well, because this is the history of our country, and where the people that gave birth to this country. I mean, the Lord gave birth to it, who he used, and they were taking a lot of their direction from the Word of God being out of the Geneva Bible. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we have 17 verses there. We're going to have four readers today. That's it. Well, I will read the first four, and then we'll go with the rest of our readers here, and the last reader can read five. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from the Geneva translation. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our assembling unto him, that ye be not suddenly moved from your mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as it were, from us, as though the day of Christ were at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a departing first, and that that man of sin be disclosed, even the son of perdition, which is an adversary, and exalteth himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he doth sit as God in the temple of God, allowing himself, showing himself that he is God. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
Okay. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 from the English Standard Version. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 from the English Standard Version.
I'm reading from the New International Version. Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Alright, not 12. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe this, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 9 and 12.
And finishing 2 Thessalonians from the English Standard Version, verses 13 through 17. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. That was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 from the English Standard Version.
Well, as I said, I like to speak thematically, so to speak, come up with a theme that, you know, that I see coming out of the scriptures and that helps us to remember. And so the theme that I'm facing today is stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. It's interesting that we know that there are many prophecy teachers out there today that maybe they're actually prophesying of the Lord and maybe they're not. But we certainly have to stay alert to the issue that there are false prophets. And we've been warned about that as we look in verse 2, for example, that you be not suddenly moved from your mind, nor troubled neither by spirit nor by word. And of course, this basically has a reference to taking heed to false prophets, and especially in the matter that many go about to deceive. Now, do they know they're deceiving people? I mean, one of the things, of course, in many that are deceived is they do not know that they're deceived. And we'd have to say, well, how does somebody become deceived? And then they don't, then they're blind to the deception they're in. And I think that what happens is that people's hearts, if you look at Hebrews 12, talking about a root of bitterness, don't let a root of bitterness grow because it springs up and defiles you. Something happened somewhere along the line and somebody became bitter, and the enemy, of course, he dwells in bitterness and he dwells in unforgiveness. And so these false prophets may not know that they're deceived, but there was somewhere along the line that they were doing something where their heart was not right with the Lord, and it gave it an entrance to the enemy. We see a lot of that going on in our culture, and of course, as people have said concerning this election time, I don't really recall ever in the history of our country it ever being so bitter as it is now, and so many things being said that many may be true and many things may not be true, and no such thing of anyone being concerned about slandering each other or gossiping about each other or bearing false witness, basically, you know, which is lying about each other, whatever that they can do to win. And that in itself is very problematic because, of course, the Lord has told us, what does a man profit that he gain the whole world but loses his soul? We see a lot of that going on right now. And so, is this the time that Jesus is going to return? There are many people who say there's really nothing to keep Jesus from returning right now. We don't know for sure. But that the issue that the apostles taught correctly. They weren't false. They weren't deceivers. And so in verse 2 it says, nor by letter as if it were from us, as though the day of Christ were at hand. So there were some going around, and maybe some today, that are claiming to have a better understanding than even the early apostles, are bringing a new revelation. For example, as we've seen in numerous places, including in Illinois and here also in New Hampshire, where a sign out in front of a church flying a rainbow flag saying, God is still speaking. Now, in a sense, that's not false. He is still speaking in the sense that he's speaking to his people. The Holy Spirit's still speaking to the people that want to listen and hear the word of God and so forth. But their reference to it is believing that certain doctrines, if you will, that we have not believed in, now God has changed his mind on that. For example, homosexuality and what's called homosexual marriage and all these other things and so forth. No, he's not still speaking on those things. Those things are set. And even though we might look at, for example, the Ten Commandments, does God say, well, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness, but that's okay now. That's not perjury, that's not lying, whatever. You know, you go along to get along, right? And they're asking that question, is he changing in that way? Well, no, he's not changing. He hasn't changed in that. So he's not still speaking those things. But the Bible is finished at Revelation 22, 21, period. And of course, many groups want to say that, no, he's still speaking. And so we can't say that the Word of God is the Word of God in its completeness. And so that's a great deception because it gets everybody confused, just the same as the issue of our Constitution here in America. We have a Constitution. It hasn't changed. I mean, it's been amended a few times, not many really, but a few times over the period of time since it was enacted. But, you know, when people ask, is that constitutional or it isn't? Well, there have been decisions made, whether it be abortion or the right to marriage as homosexuals or all these other things. Has the Constitution changed on that? No, it hasn't. And so as we're looking at how the enemy is getting people confused right now and bringing deception on them, what opens the door? And so we're being told, stay alert. It's like being on guard duty. What happens when the people on guard duty fall asleep? That's when the enemy gets in. And so for us now, the Lord wants us to stay alert because he wants to make sure the enemy does not have opportunity. You know, when you think about Jesus and his disciples in the garden, and he said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? They all fell asleep. The stuff happens when you're not paying attention. So, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So the warning had come, even in the early church, the warning had come. You can be sure that there are going to be people coming that are going to try to deceive you. They're going to try to pluck up what good has been planted in you, just the same as basically Benjamin Franklin was warning the people there at the Constitutional Convention that you've been given a great blessing here, but now the enemy wants to come in and create confusion. We need to pray. And of course, that's a motivation for us praying tomorrow, today, tomorrow, into Tuesday, that people are not deceived as they go to vote and thinking that their vote doesn't count. Well, one thing is for sure, your vote doesn't count if you don't cast it, if you don't show up. And a lot of times, of course, people are saying, well, what's the sense of it? It doesn't mean anything. It does mean something. And of course, if you don't show up and participate, that means something tremendously too. We look at verse 8, and then shall that wicked man be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall abolish with the brightness of his coming. So, in staying alert, we have to remember that the enemy wants to convince us that all hope is lost, nothing can be done, nothing good is going to come about. You know, don't bother looking to the Lord because he's not listening, or don't bother looking to the Lord and trusting him because the enemy's trying to portray himself as stronger. And of course, in verse 11, it says, and therefore God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe lies. This is obviously happening, in my estimation, right now throughout this country. There's a strong delusion that's been sent. Now, there are people who are in churches, considered Christians, that are believing a lot of lies. And of course, I've had to say, and I've challenged people, don't believe these lies. Check it out. Trust but verify, right? And a lot of people are just believing lie after lie that's passed down the road to them, and what do they know? But this is what the enemy wants to do. Creates great division, gets us into a lot of trouble. And of course, the enemy also knows that this strong delusion will be sent by the Lord that they should believe lies. And who are those people that would be receiving this? The ones that are not really, in verse 10, as it says, in all deceivableness of unrighteousness among them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. that they might be saved. And so they received not the love of the truth. One of the marks of a true Christian is they love the truth. And Jesus is the truth. So loving Jesus, you're loving the truth, and that is where truth comes from. And so those people that are loving worldly status or loving something else, or even for worshiping the church rather than worshiping the Lord of the church. And so they can be turned over to these strong delusions that they should believe lies. That all thy, they might be damned. That's an interesting word, isn't it? That all they might be damned which believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How many people today amongst our society have a love of unrighteousness? And I'd say our society in America probably never has had so much fondness for unrighteousness as it does now. Never in the history of this country was there so much pleasure in unrighteousness. And of course, what is unrighteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. So never has there been a time of loving being in a wrong standing with the Lord as it is now. So we have to stay alert to that. And knowing that there are many around who are doing it, and of course convincing others that that's all, we know, that's okay. The big put down of the Pilgrims and the Puritans was, oh, they wanted everything to be right. They wanted, no, they knew everything wasn't going to be right in a fallen world, but they were staying alert to the fact that the Lord had declared in His Word what righteousness is, and they wanted to be right standing with Him, and they loved the truth. What's wrong with that? Those are good people. That's what we should be like, to love the truth. And it's interesting also, as you get through the chapter, now the same Jesus Christ our Lord, verse 16, and our God, even the Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every word and good work. And that's what I'm preaching and sharing wherever that I go, and saying, you know what? Don't pay so much attention to what the news is telling you and whatever. Everything looks totally disastrous. It's all falling apart. Yeah, we might be on the verge of World War III. We might be on the verge of rioting all over the country and all kind of other things and so forth. But that's not what the Lord wants us to focus on. He wants us to stay alert to the comfort that He's giving our hearts and establish us in every word and good work. And I believe that these are great times as opportunity for us as Christians. When there are so many people scared and worried about what the future brings will hold and whatever else, we can say, I don't know what the future is going to be. I don't fully understand that, but I know that the Lord does, and we can trust Him. And of course, the love of the truth. How many people really want to know the truth? Even the truth about themselves or whatever else, some people just don't want to know the truth. I do. I want to know the truth. I want to stay alert to the truth that the Lord is revealing for all of us, and particularly in the body of Christ. I want us to take another look at another chapter of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The issue, and that's a particular interest. We've talked about it before, and it needs to be talked about frequently. What really is the church, and who really is the church? Is it a building? No. The ecclesia, or ecclesia, some people might pronounce it, the body of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, and we're His bride. That's the church. And so if there's a false church, we look at the Old Testament, for example, and the temple built with men's hands, the big change that we have, and I want to particularly look at verse 13. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by the fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work that he is built upon abide, he shall receive wages. If a man's work burn, he shall lose. But he shall be saved himself, nevertheless yet as it were by the fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now there is quite a kicker right there. First of all, we're being told that not a lot of the works that men are doing are going to remain. They're going to be tested. What can pass through the fire? Well, the stubble and hay doesn't pass through the fire. That burns up. The silver and gold and the gems, so to speak, they pass through the fire. Fire can't do anything to them. And so we see a lot of that now, and that's why Jesus said, know them by the fruit they bear. And so we have to stay alert to that. You know, what is there fruit in our lives? Are we bearing fruit? Is that fruit going to remain? Well, it is if it really is unto the Lord. And of course, one of the big differences between the Old Testament temple worship and the new temple of the new covenant of what we call the New Testament. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's huge. How many people actually face up to that and say, you know, when we face abortion, for example, and a woman's right to choose, and my body is my own. Well, I can't say that because Scripture doesn't say my body is my own. It says that I am the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in me and in you. If we know the Lord and we are saved, the Spirit of God dwells in a temple not built with men's hands. We have to stay alert to that. That there's a difference between the churchianity, sort of a false Christ and a false system, and that the Lord wants to dwell in us. And of course, as the Spirit comes and dwells in us, He's not going to allow other things to stay in us. And so there is that struggle. So we have to stay alert to the fact that the enemy wants to dwell in us, but the Lord wants to dwell in us, and this temple is not built with men's hands. And this temple will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in the second coming of Christ. Be changed in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal flesh to immortal flesh. You know, we don't have to understand all this stuff from a scientific standpoint any more than most people. Do you really understand how your car works? You get in and turn the key and it goes, and when you turn the key and it doesn't go, you know, are you going to study auto engineering to figure that out? No, you're just going to get it fixed, right? Well, do we understand all these things that the Lord is saying in His Word? I certainly don't. I'm trying it day by day to understand better, but I'm not trying to understand it by the way of the world. I'm staying alert to the fact that the world wants to tell me what this means, but the world can't tell what the world doesn't know. Worldliness is not going to explain the fact that the people's bodies are made of the Lord to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. It was interesting last week when we set up our discipleship material table. This young girl came over and she said, "Why are you selling naked babies?" Because we have a little baby Hope. And I said, "We're not selling naked babies. First of all, we're not selling anything, number one, because we're not a business." And secondly, this is a baby in the womb at 12 weeks gestational age. And I explained that to her and asked her some questions to make sure that she understood that. So here was a situation where the world is saying, okay, worldliness, that's not a baby, you know, or the church is a business. All those kind of things that the enemy likes to push around so that people would not be able to trust in the things of the Lord. So we got to stay alert to that. And when we hear that, the Holy Spirit in us lifts up the shield of faith and says, no, that's not right. And it's very important right now that we have that kind of discernment. I'm really expecting that the people who love truth, and if you really love Jesus, you love truth. And sometimes truth can kind of sting, can't it? About our behavior. I've had some very interesting dreams recently. Particularly a dream about a couple of people that have been kind of difficult with me. And I awoke from the dream realizing that in the dream what I did was wrong. I hadn't actually done it, but in the dream I saw what the action could be. So there was the enemy trying to push me in a direction, you might say, and the Lord warning me, no, that's not the way you need to handle that. And knowing the truth about myself is that I have every capability of doing wrong like anyone else. But the wonderful news for all of us, and I do love the truth because I love Jesus, and Jesus is the truth. It's not that Jesus has some truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the truth and the way and the only way to the Father. So we need to stay alert. But I want us to take a few minutes here and to be able to pray for our nation, for what's happening on Tuesday. I mean, to deny that it's an important event would be kind of foolish, because it is important. It's not that Jesus is going to be off the throne. Nobody can take him off the throne anyway. But actions do have consequences. So we want to pray. Father God, help us stay alert. Holy Spirit, you dwell in us. Help us stay alert. Help us see not only what's coming after us, try to dissuade us, but also help us to stay alert to the protections you've provided us, Lord, the grace you've provided us, the opportunities that you've given us, of which there are many in this day and age. Many more opportunities. There are many people that are sad and afraid and don't know you and confused as, is there even such a thing as truth? Many people say there is no absolute truth. Well, we know there is an absolute truth. And absolutely true comes from you. And so we pray that, first of all, our brethren Christians would get out and vote. Today at pulpits throughout America, I pray that there are courageous preachers like the Black Robe Regiment was at the time of the War for American Independence that will preach to the people and say, you don't sit home on Tuesday, you go vote. Don't say your vote doesn't count. One thing's for sure, if you don't show up, your vote doesn't count. But millions upon millions of Americans would say, what a blessed opportunity we have that we can vote. Countries of the world that have no voting, and we know there's plenty of corruption in our country concerning a lot of these things, but we are trusting, Lord, that you will straighten out and your will be done. You'll straighten out all the problems that are happening. And we know, Lord, that nothing keeps you. No door can keep you out. No window can keep you out. So we call upon you, Lord, forgive this country and give us another chance, Lord, to do right by you. And Lord, we just think at the end of that day, on Tuesday, both nationally and locally, we know that there'll be some people get into office that are good and some people that aren't. That's the way of the world in a fallen world. But Lord, that we will continue to stay alert to what you're providing for us and stay alert to the opportunities you're given and stay alert to what you're directing us to moment by moment. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Bring revival to America, restoration, and as many people have said, we need a spiritual revolution. And that word revolution meaning revolve. So we need to revolve away from what's been emphasized and turn to you. Thank you, Lord. Your bright and shining face, your glory shone all around. We thank you, we praise you, Lord. We'll have no other king but King Jesus. That's the word to America. As it was before, it still is. In your name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, Son of God, only Savior. Amen.